Hey everyone, this is Jordan from New St. Andrews College. I just want to invite you to join us for our upcoming Perspective Student Weekend, which is from April 13th to 16th. This is the same weekend as the Grace Agenda Conference, so if you're headed over to Moscow for that, you can register your visit also for the Perspective Student Weekend at nsa.edu. Two great events, graceagenda.com and your Perspective Student Weekend here at NSA. Hope to see you there and enjoy the podcast.
Hi, I'm Steve Dace. So if you're looking for a summer worldview camp, this is the place to be. July 16th through the 20th, we're going to encourage your kids to become the next generation of cultural leaders. We've got pastors like Douglas Wilson, filmmakers, cultural critics and commentators like myself and Matt Walsh from The Daily Wire. Sign up at calledconference.ninja. Again, Moscow, Idaho, July 16th through the 20th, calledconference.ninja.
All right, we're continuing our trek through a book I wrote, The Case for Classical Christian Education. And this is a book that I wrote 10 years after, basically Recovering the Lost Tools of Learning was written 10 years after Logos School started. And then The Case for Classical Christian Education was written about 10 years after that, so about 20 years in. And I sought to incorporate into this second book on classical Christian education a number of the things that we'd learned over the course of the growth of the Association of Classical and Christian Schools. Chapter 3 of this book is called Healing the Wound Lightly. When we see that the government school system, the public school system in America, is really struggling, and it has in many places in the country and in many cities, the public school system is a grade A disaster. There are many people who want to fix it. There's no shortage of proposed solutions, and a number of people want to incorporate different ideas that would help. Vouchers, tuition tax credits, open enrollment in whatever school district you want, charter schools, that sort of thing. And in my view, these proposed solutions, although I think on a worldly level some of them would help, they are solutions that don't really go to the root of the matter. They heal the wound lightly. The problem with the government school system, the essential problem, is that they're trying to teach students, they're trying to equip students for life without regard to the meaning of life, without regard to the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. They're trying to teach without reference to Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is the one in whom all knowledge dwells. He is the wisdom of the infinite God. So here's some, just a few practical observations taken from this chapter about our tendency to want to reform the government school systems. So I say on page 38, the Christian faith is not a condiment to be used to flavor the neutral substance of secular knowledge. Paul tells us that every thought is to be made captive to Christ, 2 Corinthians 10, 1-4. Christ says that anyone who does not gather with him is scattering. That's in Matthew 12, 30. The Christian faith does very poorly as mere decorative material. Jesus said that we are to disciple the nations, and to the extent that we see anything out of line with his word, we are to call that into obedience. So it's important for us to realize that knowledge is not a neutral thing. The Bible tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You can't really know the way you ought to know out of reference to God. So if your knowledge is out of joint somehow with a love for God, then it's not true knowledge, or it's not knowledge oriented the way it ought to be oriented. But many Christians have accepted the myth of neutrality, meaning that they think that 2 + 2 = 4, whether or not Jesus rose from the dead and whether or not Jesus is Lord. They think that George Washington crossed the Delaware at the Battle of Trenton, whether or not you believe the Bible is true. They think that that's a neutral body of knowledge. And then that neutral knowledge can be delivered to all the kids in the government school system. So the Hindu kid and the Muslim kid and the agnostic kid and the Christian kid and all these kids are sitting in the classroom together, and they are given what might be called the cold oatmeal of neutral knowledge. Right? They're just given this bowl full of oatmeal, and then they can take it home and flavor it to suit themselves. They can put the Hindu flavoring in, or the Christian flavoring in, or the Muslim flavoring in, and then they can heat it up in the microwave, and there you've got Christian oatmeal, nice and piping hot. But the assumption is that you've got this neutral substance that's the same, whether or not Jesus is Lord. And I believe that we have to, as thinking Christians, we have to simply assert that this is false. This is not the way it is. Let me back up. Many of the people who want to reform the public schools are doing so because they believe that the public schools at their best could be an even-handed delivery platform for that neutral knowledge. But what if there is no such thing as this neutral knowledge? What do we do now? A little bit later, I say, this brings us to the other kind of reform. Those who would bring about a controlled reform from the outside have a dicey problem. By a controlled reform from the outside, things like vouchers or things like charter schools, where what is happening is you're introducing a little bit of competition into a system that has enjoyed a monopoly for a long period of time. So if you introduce competition, the chances are likely that that's going to cause the government schools to up their game a little bit. So that's an attempt at controlled reform. So those who would bring about a controlled reform from the outside have a dicey problem. They want to use private sector pressure to make the government schools straighten up and fly right. But they don't want this privatization to get completely out of hand. They don't want to go all private, in other words. Once parents enjoy a real taste of educational freedom, the result might be that the government schools would clean up their act, but they would still lag behind the free schools. This would be, and by that I don't mean free in terms of tuition, I mean free in terms of government entanglement. So they would still lag behind the free schools. This would mean that no one would return to them, and they would eventually fail rather than reform. Partial privatization is difficult to do. It's like leaving the door to the monkey house partially open. So if you start dispensing vouchers so that you can help private schools get into the education system and apply some competitive pressure to the government schools, the chances are pretty good that the private schools are going to continue to be the better form of education. They're going to have more discipline, more content. They'll be more academically rigorous. The kids will come out being able to read their own diplomas and so on. And so you're going to have the government schools lagging perpetually behind. If that is the case, then at some point people are going to start opting for the private schools entirely, and especially with vouchers or tuition tax credits that make it financially feasible to do. And that means you are simply closing the doors to the government schools. The government schools would eventually shut down. Now, but that's not the goal of these reformers. What they want is a little bit of free market pressure, but not enough to actually cause the government schools to go out of business. And this is because commitment to the government schools is it's a fundamental religious commitment. It's a civic religious commitment, but I think it's a religious commitment. As a disinterested observer, let's say a voucher program were instilled, were instituted, and a bunch of private schools using vouchers popped up and began applying pressure to the government schools, I think that would be real pressure, and I think that it would cause a lot of problems for the defenders of the public school system. At the same time, I serve on the board of a private K-12 school, Logos School, and And we would refuse to take those vouchers, even if we were eligible for them. And here's the reason for that, which I outline on page 41. But in the meantime, private schools that care about their academic integrity need to resolve to have nothing to do with vouchers themselves. He who takes the king's coin becomes the king's man. Whatever kindness God may show to those making their way out of Egypt, those who have already made it out and who have successfully established unentangled schools must resolve not to take one step back toward Egypt. There's no good reason for a non-smoker to start wearing a nicotine patch. Okay, so as a social observer looking at North America, I might be glad for some of the pressures, some of the free market pressures, some of the proposals, vouchers, and whatnot that are putting actual pressure on the government school system. But if you have a private school that is up and running and they can keep the doors open and they are debating whether or not to take vouchers or to start taking vouchers, I would strongly urge them not to do it. And the reason is this. It may be that this is simply a way of not eliminating the government schools, but of shifting where the government schools are. So if you have fully tax-supported schools that are currently failing, currently not doing a good job, and then you have free, politically free private schools operating in the same economy, one of the things the government is going to want to do, they want to keep their schools open, but failing that, they want to get some kind of control over these rogue schools, over these schools that are not answering to them at all. And one of the best ways to do that is to fund it. If you start funding something, then you have something to say about it. If you start funding something, then you become one of the customers, and the customer can start demanding things, can start requiring certain things. And someone could say, well, yes, but what we would do is we'd take these vouchers, and if they ever passed a law that said, okay, you've got to hire homosexuals now. Anybody who takes government money has to conform to the LGBTQRSV policies that we've just developed. If you say, oh, if they ever did that, then we would, at that point, we would refuse the voucher. You've attached, right now there's no strings attached, and as soon as you attach ungodly strings, then we'll walk away. Well, walking away is not as simple as that necessarily. What happens if your school grows and thrives because of the vouchers, and then 30% of your budget is dependent on the vouchers, and then they bring the pressure to bear, you can, and you say, yes, we're going to say no to this LGBT thing, and we're also going to lay off a third of our staff because of that. Are you willing to do that? Your budget will grow to accommodate those vouchers, and your status quo will be dependent upon them. I would just advise people to steer clear. So the next thing that I wanted to comment on is this. On page 42, I say, but if the government adopts responsibilities that God never assigned and begins massive redistributions of wealth accordingly, this creates an ethical problem. So what part of my objection to keeping the government schools afloat or starting new kinds of government schools, as in the charter schools or in the classical charter schools, or taking money from the government in order to subsidize private education, there's an ethical problem involved with it. King Ahab stole Naboth's vineyard. Even though Ahab was the established authority, he could not alter the reality of this theft by calling it something else, zoning alterations or land reform, say. Parents who want charter schools and vouchers are asking, in effect, for others to pay higher taxes to fund their children's education, and the whole thing becomes simply food stamps for the brain. Why would we want to encourage Christian parents to go on any kind of food stamp program? No, we want to live free and independently, and vouchers are simply food stamps for the brain. Returning to the book, a citizenry may be taxed in order to fund those activities that God requires of the civil magistrate. But secularist education is not one of those activities. So we don't want to object to welfare queens when it's somebody else's welfare. But then when it's our welfare, it's somehow an entitlement. All right, or, well, this is just the way things are. And we need to learn how to, if we want to resist statist encroachments, we want to figure out a way to refuse the benefits first. They take a certain amount of money from you in taxes, and they also offer you free stuff. And I don't think we're going to be near a real reformation until we start saying no to the free stuff. And now, I do want to say, I do want to make one qualification. A tuition tax credit is in a little bit different circumstance, because there you're not getting money from the government. There you are simply not giving them as much of your own money. If they allow a particular deduction for a particular thing, I don't think that's in the same. I don't think that's in the same category. Although there may be a legal fight down the road that over whether or not it's in the same category. So one other issue of entanglement has to do with accreditation. Now, we really want to think all of these things through. So, for example, parents who have a deep faith in the government school system, a deep civic religious faith, will sometimes say, well, we would have jumped ship earlier, we would have left earlier, but we were looking for a private school that was accredited, for example. So I say this, nevertheless, parents still have a deep faith that accreditation means something because it ought to mean something. And so they come to inquire about possible enrollment at a private school, and one of their first questions concerns whether or not the school is accredited, even though the reason they have come to apply is that they are thoroughly unhappy with the school they are leaving, and which has been accredited for 100 years. So accreditation doesn't necessarily mean what you think it means. The government school system is not as stable as you think it is. It's not performing as well as you think it is. And I really believe that we need to get to the point where we're willing to question all of it. And questioning all of it means walking away from as many, all the misguided attempts to keep it propped up. I believe that if Christians were to walk away from the government school system, I mean, man, if just the Southern Baptists walked away from the government school system, it would collapse by this time next week. We need to come to grips with the fact that the secularists are using the Christians as breeders. So we breed for them, and we put our progeny in their schools, and then they take over, then they corrupt them and take over and educate them poorly and make them accountable to the state. We really want to walk away. We really need to turn our back. We really need an exodus out of the government school system. And so I would strongly urge all Christians to be wary of all half measures. I don't think there's anything for it but to pull your kids out of the school and educate them privately, either homeschooling or in a co-op or in a good Christian school. I think it has to be a clean break, and we ought to just wash our hands of trying to save or salvage the government school system.
I'm a 2009 graduate of New St. Andrews College, and I'm a commercial property manager.
Three kids at Logos, one at home still, and I do flowers on the side out of our house. When you have these little people that you're responsible to shepherd, you realize I need to know what I'm talking about, because they need to have a firm foundation and they need deep roots so that they don't get blown over and that they're ready to stand up for the truth.
I am a programmer. The language aspect of NSA is a fantastic preparation for any sort of programming.
I'm a real estate broker here in town. I think absolutely the perfect education for being in sales of really any kind.
I actually put it to a lot of great use when I was working in the political realm.
I am a pastor in Central Coast, California. Whatever vocation you take, it'll make you take that seriously because you're seeing it through the lens of the sovereignty and lordship of Christ.
For more information, visit us online at nsa.edu.